The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the service of Sunday, December 10th, 2017, and is sponsored by Barb and Gary Comfort.
Good morning. Welcome to Music Celebration Sunday, and thank you to the Flute Choir for beginning our worship so beautifully this morning. I want to thank all the musicians who are offering their gifts of music this morning to worship. It's going to be a great morning. Welcome to Holy Trinity. It's good to worship with all of you this morning. My name is Pastor Alicia, and I am joined by my colleague and husband, Pastor Ben, as well as many other worship leaders this morning. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. Lastly, I just want to encourage you to look in your bulletin for other announcements, but we'll begin in worship by remaining seated and singing O Come Emmanuel this morning.
In Advent, we give thanks for this victory wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's coming. As we light the third candle on this wreath, may our hearts be strengthened as we await the Lord's coming in glory.
Let us pray. God of light, enlighten us with your grace, that we may serve our neighbors in need. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen.
The first scripture lesson today is from Isaiah 7, verses 13 and 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." Here ends the reading.
I believe the Lord and the Lord. Reading from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
From Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 60. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, or your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Make a joyful noise though. Well, I want to tell you another time when I didn't really know what I was going to get. It was about a month ago that we were gathered with our new members of Holy Trinity. Do we have any of those friends in the room? I'm going to share a little story about you today. Nothing embarrassing. But we were gathered about a month ago and we were having a little Bible study down in Paul's place. And as an icebreaker question, I asked, when have you experienced the word freedom? When have you experienced the word freedom? And in two different ends of the room, I heard two great answers that got a chuckle out of our room. At one table, one couple said, when we went off to college and left home. And on the other end of the room, we heard at a different table, a couple said, we experienced freedom when our kids went off to college. And I think in both situations, on the same end of the coin, it was this sense of freedom when there was no longer such a close bond together. But I asked this question to our new members, and I don't believe in asking anyone of the church to do something that myself or Pastor Ben are not willing to do ourselves. So I'm going to answer that question for you this morning, when we've experienced freedom. So I want to tell you, it was when Ben and I were living in Seattle. Any folks from the Northwest in here? We were living in Seattle. We're all Midwesterners. We were living in Seattle. Ben and I were on internships at two different churches, living on minimal stipends we were given. We were in our third of 4 years of graduate school together, and let me tell you, the two words, financial and peace, did not go together. In our first years of marriage, not having very much was okay because it was kind of romantic for a little while. But in our third of 4 years in school, we now realized it wasn't so romantic anymore. We realized the reality of the debt we had assumed from all these years of school was going to start to catch up to us. So we were here living in Seattle. We were underinsured. We were living in a basement house apartment with one little car that we still have. And it was at that point we were invited to take a class called Financial Peace University. It's taught by Dave Ramsey, facilitated by people of the church. And if you've ever heard of Dave Ramsey, he's really well known for one thing. His radio show where people get on the air and they do what is called the debt-free scream. The debt-free scream. Dave is famous for his radio show where people come on the air after they've gotten debt-free and they scream because they feel so free in their life. Now, I'll tell you, it was that testimony that got us to take the class. And it was part of our job, I'll be honest. We took the class at Ben's internship church for 12 weeks, and then we turned around and we offered it at the church that I was working at. And it was one of our first classes that we learned the scripture that says in the Bible, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And I'll tell you what, we knew what that felt like. We'd gotten out of undergrad and then jumped into grad school together, which was somewhat insane. And we started to see these loans pile up for the first 2 years. Went out to Seattle where we had this minimal stipend and were aware of having 1 year left where we were going to take out more to then go out into the real world. Well, after we took this class, it changed our life. It changed our life. Because I'm embarrassed to say, when I learned about it, I was skeptical. Ben tells me I have this, like, integrity detector, and I thought for sure there was false advertising in Financial Peace University. But there wasn't. It was simply a program about simple budgeting with a whole lot of encouragement and accountability to do it. And so eventually, we believed it was actually worth taking these small steps of financial responsibility to begin to live a different life and get out of debt. And I'll tell you what, it worked. It worked. And we started to learn what it felt like to not be enslaved to lenders anymore. And I tell you this today because it relates to our readings. Today we heard a number of scriptures from the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to invite you to do what we've been doing the last couple weeks and take out those lovely black books in your chairs, our Bibles, and I want to invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah, and I'll give you the page number if it helps. It's 548. And as you take out Isaiah on page 548, I'm going to tell you a little bit of background. Isaiah is the first book that's a prophetic book in the Bible. And about a third of our Bible is prophetic writing. And prophets simply do this. They simply speak truth. So if you've had people in your life that speak truth to you, their prophets to you. So about a third of this book is prophetic writing, and the first prophet that we get is Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And prophets in the Bible were people who spoke truth to leaders, but also just all of God's people. And it was typically in a situation where God's people weren't living faithful lives. They were living unfaithful lives, and the prophets were simply there to speak truth, to encourage them to live a different way of life. So, you open up the book of Isaiah. The prophetic books are simply in order, from largest to smallest, and Isaiah is the biggest one. And I want to tell you about the whole book in a nutshell. The whole book of Isaiah, when you open it up, is all a story of deliverance. It's this great story of freedom. But if I just told you that half of the story, it'd be a lie. Because every story of deliverance always starts with a story first of captivity, of being bound, of being enslaved, of being stuck in life. And Isaiah is a story about God's people being unfaithful. And they get taken out into this place of enslavement called Babylonia. They're captured by this other place called Babylon, and they go out to Babylonia, and they're enslaved. They're stuck, and they can't get out of it. So when you see that book of Isaiah, there are three parts to it. The first part is God's people at home in Jerusalem, just like we're at home today. And that goes about until chapter 40. So it's about 40 chapters of God's people in Jerusalem being unfaithful. 40 chapters. And Mark found that good news from Isaiah and gave it to his people, and I'm telling you the same thing today. God is coming. We pray, O come, Emmanuel, because we need deliverance too. And I think just like we can become stuck and enslaved and bound in our life, in our ways, in unfaithful ways, just like Isaiah's people, God says, I'm coming to release you. I'm coming to bring you home, to give you a new life, a new start, a new year. And I want to help you to live in ways that I desire you to live, to make the world like I intended it to be. So in the season of Advent, the church reads all kinds of readings from our prophets in the Bible, the people that spoke truth and still speak truth to us today. We look backwards because we hear about Isaiah bringing good news. And when we hear about Jesus' mission statement, he actually quotes from Isaiah 61. Jesus says these very words. He says, I have come to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus says from Isaiah, I've come to comfort those who mourn, and I've come to release those who are captive. So as we anticipate Jesus' birth coming, and we continue our worship series for one more week, O come, Emmanuel, I invite you to think about what's holding you captive. What's binding you, keeping you stuck? Because one of the things that Jesus and Isaiah say is he's coming to offer the year of the Lord's favor. And I want to tell you what that means because it hits home in all of our lives. I guarantee it. The year of the Lord's favor was the year of Jubilee. It happened every 50 years in the Old Testament times. And every 50 years, everyone's debts were erased completely. All the slaves were set free, and the world started over. And Jesus says the same words. I've come to bring the year of the Lord's favor. I've come to cancel your debts, to free those who are enslaved, and to give you a new beginning. And I think that is worth a debt-free scream for all of us today. That's worth singing about. That's worth screaming about. So let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord with our music and give thanks to the God of deliverance for us all. Amen. We pray the prayer that you taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, in the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now as you go today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.